Morning, church family. What a beautiful Sabbath. A little cooler than we're used to, but boy, it's nice to have a little cool weather too, isn't it? Just curious how many college baseball player fans there are here. Anybody fan of baseball league? Football? People do actually follow football and baseball. Of course, you know, those of you that that follow the college or university, whatever you want, you know, guys that are in college, let's put it that way, there was a game, I believe it was last weekend. Does anybody remember what teams played? It was down here in L.A. Anybody? Really? See, none of you do follow. The Ducks. That's right. Somebody did what? Let me hear it. Okay, we do have somebody who was following. Okay, Oregon Ducks and the UCLA. And who won?
Oregon won in the second quarter.
Yeah, it was quite a game. The reason I'm kind of, you know, I don't really follow that, but my son is an avid Ducks fan, and actually about five or six of them all flew down from up in the Northwest to watch the game and cheer them on. You know, football fans and baseball fans are funny, aren't they? I mean, they get so excited and so wound up over, you know, somebody just hitting a ball or throwing a ball. I'm personally, I'm a NASCAR, SCCA fan. I like watching cars go in circles for hours. So I don't know which is worse. But we're funny people though, aren't we? It's amazing what we connect ourselves with and get excited over. And Rick called me and said, "Hey, they won. I said, "Who won?" "Dad, the Ducks." "Oh, okay." "All right." I'm still waiting for the football season to begin, the pro football. But those of you that might have a clue about the history of baseball know that in 1995 something happened. Do you remember 1995? Some of you weren't even born in 1995. What happened in 1995? Strike. And it wasn't a baseball strike. Everybody was on strike. All the teams, and well, not all of them, but most of them were on strike between 94 and 95. But it was an interesting time. For the players and the teams, it was kind of a bummer. For the fans, it was an outrage. I think most of them would probably call it an outrage. But for those few that managed to get in the right door, people who were undeserving actually got to bat and play pro football. Baseball, okay? I'm getting the two mixed up here. Can you imagine if somebody came up to you and gave you the chance to get out there in the middle of the stadium, you know, and hit that ball or pitch it? Needless to say, it was not an exciting year, and it was kind of bad news. And for some people, it created a tremendous amount of stress, and some people lost a lot of money, I imagine. Because, you know, a lot of people make money during the sports seasons on bets. But in that case, it didn't work. Now you say, "Well, Pastor, what's that got to do with Romans chapter 5? Well, it has a lot to do with it, because the overriding theme of the book of Romans is you and I are undeserving of salvation. Okay? We do not deserve it. But it is a free gift by grace. It is a free gift. You have an opportunity to have eternal life through Jesus Christ. Okay? It would be the equivalent of one of us here in this room being able to get up and play pro baseball or pro football. We don't deserve it. We weren't picked by the team. We didn't work our way up. In fact, some of us might be pretty good hitters, but most of us probably wouldn't even see a 90-mile-an-hour ball coming. Have you ever tried that? One time I went in with my son to the batting cage, and I never played fastball. We always played, you know, softball, great big one like this. You always saw that thing coming. And so Daddy said, try this. So he cranks it up to 70. I didn't even see the ball coming. It just went. So what am I supposed to do? Well, you're supposed to keep your eye on the ball, Dad. Well, I did have my eye on the ball. But you understand, I would not do well out on the field. I would be booed off the field. The same thing is true, Paul is saying in the book of Romans. And actually, most of the writings of Paul, he emphasizes the fact that it's only by grace. It's only by God's grace and His love for us. It's only by His grace, which Jesus is the face of grace. It's only through Jesus Christ that we have any hope of eternal life. And so in this passage of Scripture, let's, if you have your Bibles, turn to Romans, the 5th chapter. You have to excuse me. I took a medication. It makes my mouth really dry, so I'll have to drink. But here in Romans chapter 5, beginning with, well, let's just start here in verse 1. By the way, thank you, worship team, for leading us in a very wonderful time in praising God through music. It says here, therefore, and when Paul says therefore, he's kind of summarizing. Therefore, since we have been justified by our works, by the things we do or don't do, we're justified through what? Through faith. Okay, I want you to hang on that one. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, peace with God. How many of you would say that's a pretty important thing in your life, having peace with God? Okay, good. And if you came from a fire and brimstone background, preaching background, you would even appreciate that even more. But the point is that God, we are at war with God. The bottom line is, as human beings, we are just, by simply being human, there is a vast chasm that opens up between God and humanity. And being part of humanity means that there is a battle, there is a war. Our hearts are not automatically driven into the presence of God. They don't automatically connect with God. By nature, we are rebellious. By nature, we strive to do our own thing. By just sheer habit, we do things that drive us away from God, that keeps that separation there. But it's interesting because Paul is beginning, he's saying, therefore, since we have been justified through faith. Now, I want you to, you know, a lot of times we read a passage of Scripture, but then we don't think about breaking that sentence down. Obviously you all took English in school. And if you went to college, you know, you took advanced studies in the English language and maybe some other languages, and they taught you how to parse a sentence or a word, right? You find its tenses and all the other things, and you're able to dissect a sentence. Gene could help us more with that. I was never great in English class. But look at this. Therefore, since we have been, what does have been? Thank you. Past tense. All right? Have been means it's already done. It's completed. Okay? If it were, for example, if it said, therefore, since we were being or are being justified, that would be a different tense, wouldn't it? That would mean it's a continued ongoing thing. Now, you need to understand that in the Greek language, tenses are extremely important for the understanding of the context of the entire letter. Please understand there were no verses, no chapters, and no punctuation in the Greek language. When Paul wrote this letter, he wrote it like you would write a letter, just beginning to end. Okay? So when he talks about tenses here, when he says has been or have been, okay, that means it was done in the past punctual. In other words, it happened and that's it. Okay? Now we move on. So, Paul is saying we were justified through faith. Now there's that word faith again. Faith is vital. It is your part of the whole picture. People say, well, my part is making sure I do all the right things or don't do things I'm not supposed to. Let's not get hung up there right now. Right now we're talking about faith. He that is without faith has what? Nothing. Has no salvation. You must have faith. It is an important ingredient in the plan of salvation. All right? So, it is through faith we have peace with God. And that peace comes through Jesus Christ. You see that? So it's a combination of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who died on the cross for us, so that we, our sins, could be forgiven, so that He was resurrected, so that we would have hope of eternal life. And Paul will talk about the word hope again in a minute. So it's through Jesus Christ that we have peace with God. All right, you get it? There's a sequence there. So we have peace because of Jesus, because of what Jesus has already done. Not what He's doing now or what He is going to do in the future, but it's already been done. So it's been done. All of us should have peace in our hearts. Do you have peace this morning? Do you? If you knew you were going to be getting on an airplane to fly to South Africa or somewhere in Africa, would you have peace? Would you even get on the plane? So there is a little bit of unrest, isn't there, in our souls at times. But we're not talking about Ebola. We're not talking about the dangers of the world that we live in. We're talking about eternal life. Your assurance of salvation through Jesus Christ is what gives you peace from day to day in your daily living. Do you get it? We're not talking about peace about, you know, Ebola or anything else. We're talking about peace and assurance of salvation. Mm-hmm. Okay, so moving along. The consequences then, if you put this in the proper tenses, the consequences of our faith is justification and salvation through Jesus Christ. Okay, y'all get that now, right? Okay, I don't want to go to the next step before we understand that fully and comprehend it and have it locked in our minds, okay? The second blessing that Paul points out here in this passage of Scripture, let's move on, keep reading here. Our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access, we have gained access. That's blessing number two. We have gained access. First of all, we have peace through Jesus Christ. And then now we have gained access. And there's that word again. By what? My works? My faith. There it is again. It's faith again. We have access by faith into this grace. All right? So it's our faith that accesses the grace. And where is the grace from? Well, it's God's gift. It's a free gift. It's freely given. And once again, the face of grace is Jesus. So once again, we're referring back to what Jesus has done for us on the cross. All right? So it's through faith that we have access to grace, in which we, and here's a tense now, which we once stood or will stand in the future. What does it say there in your Bible? The grace in which we now stand. What tense is that? That's present, isn't it? So because of God's grace and because of the death of Jesus Christ in the past, we can now through faith access, okay, all that He did in the past. You get it? We can access that through faith. Now you see why faith is so important? You see why many times the Apostle Paul refers to faithfulness and have faith? Okay? Now, moving on. And so we access faith into this grace in which we now stand. And then what does that lead to? The consequence of our faith is that we stand, okay, we're standing there in God's grace. We have access to it. And we rejoice in what? In hope. Now remember, hope, when Paul talks about hope, the word hope, it would be the same thing as when we talk about the Advent. Okay, what is the Advent? The coming of Christ. Okay? When Paul says hope, he's talking about the coming of Christ. Or he's talking about what our lives will be like in the future. So what we have here then are three different tenses. It begins by faith. We have peace, and that's a past tense. And then by faith we have grace, and we stand now. That's present tense. All right? And then we can rejoice. We can rejoice in the glory of God, and that is future tense. Are any of you right now standing in the glory of God? You're in the presence of the Holy Spirit, and that brings joy and happiness. But the being in the presence of God is future. Okay? It's a blessing that comes by faith also. Faith in knowing that the consequence of our faith is that we will spend eternity with God. We will have salvation through Jesus Christ and spend eternity with God. Do you see it? How simple that is? And so let's just take a look at just a couple other passages too. Look at Ephesians chapter, gotta get my glasses on here. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 18. Okay, just a couple of books there. Chapter 2, verse 18. Just to emphasize and underline this. For through him meaning Jesus, we have access to the Father. So we have access again to the Father by what? By one Spirit. So even though the kingdom, the physical kingdom of God is in the future, we still have access to the spiritual kingdom through the Holy Spirit. That is what we're living in right now, is the spiritual kingdom. Jesus, of course, emphasized that when he talked about the kingdom of heaven being in you. You see? The spiritual kingdom. And of course, the body of Christ is part of that spiritual kingdom. Each of us is a member of that body. Each of us serves one another. By the way, the gifts of the Spirit are there not to serve the world, but to serve the body. We need to make that clear. The gifts are given to serve the body. All right? Had a long talk for about 2 hours on the phone. I guess it was yesterday. With someone who is slowly, slowly coming to the understanding of the gospel. Came out of an extremely legalistic background, drove him away from God, and now he's coming back, and I'm so thrilled because he's very closely related to me, and I'm so thrilled to see the light coming on, to see his eyes. He's so filled with peace and happiness and joy because now he realizes that his salvation is through Jesus Christ. It's not through his works. It's not through what he's doing. Okay? And that's what Paul, once again, is emphasizing. We are unworthy. We are not worthy to stand at the batter's plate. We are not worthy to play on the field. We shouldn't even be in the stadium. And yet, while we were yet sinners, what? Christ died for us. While we were just playing out there and, you know, in the baseball fields of life, you know, out on the grassy fields where there was no backstop, there was no bases, you just kind of hitting the ball out there, hoping to get into the major league. While we were still out there, Christ died for us and made it possible for us to be in the major league. You get it? I'll tell you, the Apostle Paul, sometimes you have to come back and read him over and over. And I'll tell you something, I'll warn you. And you start really reading your Bible and reading it intently on trying, you know, asking God to give you something fresh, something new, something that will change your life. Every time you go about reading, you will discover something new, something that will just energize your soul. And I told Derek, I said, Derek, you know, every so often the Spirit throws me a curveball, and then, you know, I pray real hard that all the music that the team has selected will also blend and mold and fit into the whole worship service. Well, it did. And let me share something with you. And let's pick on Dallas. He looks like he might be. Are you falling asleep? No, come on, Dallas, come over here. See, if I get Dallas to come up, then that means Ivy's awake too. All right. Hey, don't you laugh. Some of you guys, I see you. I got something I need to show you. All right. Dallas, you know that I'm a gearhead. Are your hands clean?
Yeah.
Good, I'll give it to you this way. Now, here. Here you go. All right. How many of you know what this is? A cylinder. Okay. And what is it off of? A motorcycle. He got the first one right because he noticed that there are fins, and that means it's air-cooled, right? Well, it's not off of a motorcycle, but that was good. It's off of a car, particular type of what? Invented, designed by the same man. Okay, this is off of a Porsche, okay? And I went by my friend's shop, and he had taken one of my, well, he took my engine apart. And I don't know if he knows I have this, but I snitched it off the counter because I needed it for this morning. So when he goes to put it back together, he's going to go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Where's the other one? Oh, well, anyway. This is a cylinder, and this cylinder by itself, it's cast in some very strong steel, has a lot of high nickel content. It resists wear to some degree. It is cooled. The engine is cooled by air passing through the fins, and also the oil that goes into the engine. Now, what do you see in there?
Nothing.
Nothing. Okay. There's nothing in there. Now, if I were to take this and bolt it onto the engine, what do you suppose would happen to my engine? It would what? It wouldn't even start. It would attempt to, because all of the other five cylinders would be firing, but there would be no compression. In order for an engine to run properly, there has to be compression in the cylinder. Okay? Now, I want you to just think for a moment and just kind of imagine that this is you. Okay, this is you. Now, maybe you don't like me to look through it, so okay, that's you. All right? You know? Only God can look down deep inside, but here we are. All right. So this is someone passing through life. And in life, we learn many things. We learn a lot of really good things, and we put them in there. Okay? So we put it in our lives, in our minds, in our souls. We put it in music, with lots of good music. We put in good food. We put in good experiences. We put in good relationships. Okay. We put that in there. We put in fun at church. We put in all the things that we learn makes who we are. Okay. Here it is. This is someone, maybe you. Then as life goes along, sometimes things happen in our life and it hurts us. But it goes in here too, okay? Negative things happen to us, it goes in here too. We lose a job, it goes in here too. We get a promotion on the job, it goes in here too. Do you get what's happening here? We stub our toe when we're skateboarding, that goes in here too, right? Yeah? And we almost drown when we're swimming at the ocean, that goes in here too, right? All of those experiences make us who we are, okay? You get it? Now, let's say you had a pretty good life, all right? But then something happens to you that really hurts your down deep inside, in your soul. And pretty soon all the things that are in here start leaking out the bottom here, right? They start falling out the bottom. And so when things start falling out the bottom, we stuff more inside, don't we, often? Because you want to keep it full. You want your life to be full, right? You want all those good experiences like, you know, snowboarding in Bluebird or going to the, you know, the Dodger game or the, that's really a bad name. Going to the, what's the team here? Oh, no, I'm talking about football. Oh, that's right. The Chargers. 49ers in here. Green Bay. Broncos. Yeah, okay. And whoever else. All those are good experiences. But often because there's a hole in the cylinder here at the bottom, nothing can stay in there. It just keeps coming out. And the pain in our lives, it just keeps coming out. And we keep stuffing more in, and we keep stuffing more food in. And we start stuffing things that we shouldn't put in our body, like drugs. We stuff experiences in here that aren't good for us. We choose to make wrong decisions. They get in here too. And they keep coming out the bottom. We can't contain it. And that's because we don't have Jesus in our lives. There's no power in our life. It's all about us and what we're doing, but there's no power in our life. Now, those of you that know engines, I'll let you sit down. Ivy is looking lonely. Those, unless you want to look at the engine. No, okay. See where the drawing power is? It's not in the engine. So what we need is we need something that will create power in our lives, power to have victory in our lives. That's why it's broken. And so what we do is we have to find Jesus Christ. Okay? And this one element in our life is vital. Jesus said that whoever confesses me before the Father, whoever confesses me before the world, I will confess before the Father. Okay? So it's important for us to have Christ in our lives. Not only that, but having Christ in our life then puts power in our life. Okay? So we have to put Jesus inside. The Bible, you know, says over and over again, it's Christ living in us. Okay? Come on. The tolerances are really tight in this thing. It's not like a Volkswagen. Okay, so here we go. So now we have Christ in our life, right? Everything's good, huh? We said, oh, Lord, I confess you as my Father. I promise I'll come to church at least maybe 3 times a month or once a month. I'll come and get charged up. You'll be my power, okay? And I'll sing loud and I'll pay my tithe and I'll do all those things. But I still kind of need to hang on to my life. I need a life. So, you know, I'll acknowledge you when it's right. And the rest of the time, just believe that I love you. Is that how it works? The Bible says that it's through faith. We just read it several times. It's our faith. Now, where in this dynamic is faith? We have the life that we live. We have Jesus in our life. But remember, when Jesus is in our life, there is still going to be suffering and pain and disappointment and sorrow in our lives. Jesus promised that to his disciples, by the way. He says, if you accept me and follow me, your life is going to be difficult. So if our life is going to be difficult, then we need the most important element to keep connected, keep Christ connected to our lives. To make sure that an engine has compression, just having a piston there is not good enough. Okay? Because you need to have compression in order for there to be an explosion in the chamber, which is what happens. Gas and air and boom, an ignition, boom. Okay, so what's missing? I'll show you when I get this out. This has to come out just perfect. These cylinders won't be any good after I'm done with them, but anyway. All right, so the thing that is the closest to Christ, to the piston, to the source of power, are the rings. And the rings are literally round rings that slip in between here. There's one, two, three. One is an oil ring, and there's two other rings. That is what presses against the cylinder walls and makes it tight, so there's no blow-by. Don't try to remember all those words, but it makes it have good compression. Faith is the rings, okay, that keeps our relationship connected and tight with Jesus. You see that? Without rings, the engine might start, but it'll be running on five really strong cylinders and one that's going. It, air passes between this piston and the side of the cylinder. With rings, it becomes part of the whole engine that runs smoothly. Now, each of you have Christ in your life. You've proclaimed Him as your Lord. You've accepted Him as your personal Savior. You are assured, as Paul says, past tense, that you're justified, which means you can be ushered into the presence of God. Okay? So you have a place. That's God's presence. You have a place by faith. And you also will receive and be in the presence of His glory, future tense. You get it? All right? Once again, the piston, the cylinder, isn't worth anything until it has the faith. And that's your choice. You get it? By faith, Abraham. By faith, Isaac. By faith, Jacob. Not one of those names in Hebrews says, well, what he did was great and wonderful. And what, you know, it says by faith, it was accounted to him. By faith, righteousness was given. Okay? So remember that. You can remember it with the fact that none of us are worthy. None of us are worthy to be in the big leagues. But all of us, through Jesus Christ, are given the opportunity. It's your faith. Your faith counts. The consequences of that faith is a life united and connected to Jesus Christ. It also means that you have eternal life. Assurance. Jesus never lied. God never will disappoint us. What He promises, He gives. That's guaranteed. All right? But it's our faith. It's the faith that we develop here in this life. And there's different words we use for that. We can call it sanctification. We can call it a lot of things. But remember that it's the faith that keeps us in a tight relationship with Jesus Christ, who is the power source of our lives. Okay? And so Paul here, as he's talking to the church family in Rome, is bringing this to them in a way that they can understand, something that they can incorporate into their lives. We too, as we read this passage of Scripture, we find tremendous hope. We find tremendous joy, tremendous assurance in knowing that it is through Jesus Christ that we have even a chance of eternal life. Let's bow our heads. Lord, we thank You for the words of the Apostle Paul that once again quickens our hearts. It reveals our need, and it also assures us that through Jesus Christ we have eternal life. Lord, if there is anyone present this morning that has not yet received or accepted Jesus as their personal Savior, I pray that You will send Your Spirit to continue to quicken their hearts, draw them close to You. May this be a time, a beginning of a faith relationship that ultimately will end in eternal life. I pray this in Your name. Amen.